there are many different approaches to managing money, but a key to marriage is to be in agreement with your spouse and to kind of keep each other responsible. I'm John Fuller here in the studio with Greg Smalley. And once again, Greg, Aaron is not feeling the best.
Yeah. Yeah, just a little under the weather.
So pray for the Smalleys. They have a lot going on. They're really a critical component of the work here at Focus on the Family. And thanks for those prayers. Greg, as you reflect on frequent mistakes you've seen in couples with regard to money, what comes to mind is maybe a couple of the top two or three?
Yeah, number one absolutely is not talking about money. So we just avoid it. Anytime we try to talk, it leads to conflict or disconnection. So we just don't do that. And over time, then we just, you know, we absolutely avoid doing that. And in finances, it's such an important component of how we function as a team. Mm-hmm. I think that another big one is what I would call financial infidelity. And that's when we hide purchases, we mislead around debts. You know, we have secret accounts. Mm-hmm. I mean, those things happen.
Hey, didn't you have a secret stash one
I
time?
I did. Thank you for bringing that one
up. I remember
up.
This from years ago. What was that about?
You know, for me, as I was working a job, and basically I'd get some cash around tips. Uh-huh. And where I was frustrated is that Aaron wanted to, in my view, overly talk about how we'd spend, you know, any little cash, extra money.
Yeah, she worried about all of it.
Yeah, and so I chose so poorly out of my feeling of being controlled that I just would put some money aside that I didn't tell her about, a little bit of money. I didn't think it would matter. And I tell you, John, the sad part is how easy it was for me to rationalize that behavior, thinking, I mean, it's, you know, $5, $10, $20 here and there. No big deal. The problem is that began a habit then of me then hiding things. Nothing huge and big, but I noticed that it was just much easier for me than around some other things. Well, I just won't tell Aaron about this or, you know, it's no big deal. So she didn't really need to know. No harm, no foul.
So it started a habit.
It really did.
Yeah,
and that's part of the challenge. That's a huge mistake that we can make around money in our marriage that can lead to bigger problems like it did for me.
Yeah, maybe uncomfortable, but if I recall, once that little secret stash was found out, that secret stash of cash, there's kind of a freedom. I mean, there really is a freedom. It's not kind of. There is true freedom as you bring things to the light and share openly.
It really was. For me, it was finally like, okay, now we can deal with this. Everything's out. Because it gets to the point to where one lie upon another lie or deception here, deception there. Man, that feels like weight. It felt like I was floating in the ocean trying to hold up all these weights that kept getting tossed to me. And at some point, you're drowning. You can't stay above the water. So in many ways, it was like letting those weights go. Now, that severely damaged the trust in my marriage. And it took a long time. That was a long journey and road of rebuilding trust and safety, security with Aaron. And we went and got help. We got counseling. And I, as I look back, I'm like, man, what a moron. Like, all for a little $5, $10, $20 here and there, I caused not only a lot of scars, but a whole lot of work that we had to go through. Now, I can look back after almost 32 years and go, I mean, it's a beautiful part of our love story because of how God redeemed it, used it, how we've grown from that. Yeah. But man, some of those things, I'm like, I would much rather not have created some of those scars.
Yeah, well, I appreciate your transparency. Sorry to bring it up. I won't do so again for a long time.
I feel like Aaron had you talk about this. Did she text you before we started recording?
She may not be feeling well, but she's still texting.
John, bring up this.
Well, we want you to bring things to the light, and we don't want – boy, that was such a great picture of being in the ocean and sinking. So many people are – feeling that right now about their finances. We're going to pivot now to a conversation Jim Daly and I had with Linda and Bob Lottick. And today they're going to talk about being underwater with regard to credit cards and how you could use credit cards responsibly.
Most of us have credit cards. You've alluded to your struggle with credit cards, and I so appreciate that. Thank you for that vulnerability. But what rules have you put in place to master them and they don't MasterCard you.
Yes, I know. It's a tricky one. So one of the things that we did was we decided we weren't going to use it for fun money ever. So if we were using a credit card, it was going to be for an electric bill, which we'd have no temptation to overspend on, right? So we'll use them for things like that. And some of the reason we do that is to kind of work the point system.
Sure.
You know, but the other thing we did is if we ever carry a balance over to the next month, we shut it down immediately because we know ourselves well enough to know that if it's like, oh, well, we'll just kick that can down the road, it's too easy to just keep kicking it down the road.
Yeah, and the principle there is to pay it off every month.
Every month.
Yeah, Gene and I try to do that.
Yeah. So that's big. Is there one more?
And then the last one is really just if you're going to use a credit card at all, just make it work for you. Because I think what most people don't realize is the difference between a good credit card and a great credit card in terms of rewards generated and things. It's not like twice as good. It's like 5 or 10 times as good. So just get into a credit card because they offered you a free T-shirt. Like, that's not the way to go.
No, that's funny. I never thought of MasterCard in that way. You could preface it as we are your master card.
Yes.
You know, that's scary. It is actually scary. You don't want to get into that debt. Boy, I've tried to teach my 20-something boys to be cautious about that. And I think they've managed it good so far, but we'll continue to monitor. The second part of your formula is to earn all you can, but what can you do if you're stuck in a low-paying job? Pretty practical question. You know, when you look at that 100% approach, if you're literally making a few hundred dollars a month, it's hard to find margin in there to put in savings and to tithe. And I get the principle, but let's be practical. What do you do if you're in a lower-paying job and it seems to take 110% of your money to just pay your bills, your insurance? Have you seen the cost of things lately?
Oh my gosh.
Like crazy. I feel so bad for people on the lower end of the income spectrum when eggs are $6 a dozen. And you know what we're feeling.
So
what do you do?
I mean, I think the biggest thing, you know, and this is obvious, but it's like you start with going to God. We bring him into this equation because I think this is one of the unfair advantages that we have as believers is we have the opportunity to invite the God of the universe into our financial situations. And when we're not taking advantage of that, we're missing out on a lot of opportunities. In terms of getting practical with this, you know, we haven't successfully followed the number 100 rule every single month of our lives, but we've done everything that we can. And so if literally, if we're making 10,000 a month, 1,000 or 100, I really just want to be giving something out of that every single time. And that would be my encouragement, you know, because even if you're only making $100 in a given month, that's not going to solve the problem anyway.
Right.
And so there's something about that seed time principle of like just giving first, even when it's not comfortable, even when it doesn't make sense, that like we encourage people to do.
Oh, there are so many differing opinions, even within the Christian community, Greg, about credit cards. And I really appreciated what the Lottics had to say about, you know, putting some guardrails and some rules in place if you're going to use a credit card. What advice do you offer on that?
Yeah, I would say the theme that we're really trying to communicate is you've got to talk. Do not do this in secrecy. Err on the side of communicating with each other because there are times, and I don't know if a Dave Ramsey or a financial expert would agree with this, but you know, there's times where we know that we've had to do some big purchases, maybe around school or something, to where I've said, hey, if we get this credit card, that's going to give us, you know, X number of, you know, free airline miles. But we talk that through, and here's the plan. Here's how we'll do that. So I think as you guys go about figuring this out, Aaron and I try to use the rule that whatever we do around credit cards, we're going to pay balances in full each month. So you've got to avoid the huge interest charges. And then we always set up automatic payments around that. Just if something crazy is happening, we're busy, we forget to, oh, that's when the due date is, then at least, you know, you've got a payment that's automatically happening to avoid, again, some of those late fees and all of that. Mm-hmm. But just be cautious, but really communicate. Again, there's great experts out there who will give you better insight. I'm just telling you what Aaron and I do, but we do that with full transparency.
Yeah. Well, that's the gift we want you to enjoy as a couple, that full transparency in all ways. And so if you're struggling with your finances, look to Focus for some help. We have some great resources here, including the book by Bob Lodick called Simple Money, Rich Life, and we're making that available today for a gift of any amount. So the two of you talk about this and then make a generous donation to Focus on the Family, either a one-time gift or an ongoing monthly pledge. And we'll send that book to you as our way of saying thank you for putting some fuel in the tank of Focus on the Family as we reach out and encourage couples through podcasts like this and so many other ways. We'll also direct you to a free article we've got for you on the website. It's called Coping with Financial Crisis and Maintaining Your Marriage. It's got very practical ideas for getting out of a financial rut or pit, and we'll link over to that in the show notes. Next time, we'll hear from Bill and Pam Farrell about how they used a password to help them better resolve conflict. I'm John Fuller, and thanks for listening to the Focus on the Family Marriage Podcast.
As a parent, it's easy to find myself sitting backseat to my kids in the backseat. It's tough to be a step ahead, and full honesty, I'm pretty hard on myself when that happens. But I've found Practice Makes Parent, a podcast from Focus on the Family, hosted by Dr. Danny Huerta and Rebecca St. James. It helps me be more intentional and not feel alone when things get tough. Everything they share is practical and well-practiced, and I can use it right away. Listen to Practice Makes Parent wherever you get your podcasts.